Last week, as we were looking at the judges, we looked a little bit at Deborah and Barak. And before we pray, let me just kind of give you a little bit of preview and then a little review. In this song, chapter 5, they praise God for his virtues and his volunteers, his victory, and his vessels there. And as we've been going through this book, just in a few weeks, first of all, we saw the first judge, Othniel, which his name means force, and the force of God used him. It was Caleb's nephew. And then remember, he became son-in-law to Caleb because Caleb had promised his daughter to the one who got the victory. And then we saw Ehud, a left-handed man that God used to kill Eglon, as we saw last week, lefty and hefty there. And then we also looked at Shamgar, who kills 600 with an ox goad. And we talked about the goad and the point that's there and how the scripture talks about our words should be as goads and made those applications. And then Deborah, the wise prophetess and wife there that God had established as one of the judges. And so when we come to chapter 5 tonight, we're going to look at this song. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for songs of the faith. We look at the book of Psalms and we see many. We see Moses, a song, and Deborah and Barak, and oftentimes your people are singing songs because of the wonderful things that you've done. And we thank you for the gift of music. And indeed, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And you put a song within our hearts whenever we come to know you. And so we pray that this song that we see this evening would be a blessing and encouragement to us to continue to give praise to you through song, which is a natural response of your people. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Beginning chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." And so they sang unto the Lord. And remember, we have seen the cycle that the Israelites are going through. They sin against the Lord, then he puts them in servitude, and they get tired of being slaves to various people. They cry out to God in their supplication, and he sends a deliverer. He sends salvation. And when he does that, they sin again and go into slavery, and then they get tired of it, and they pray. And God always responds and sends a deliverer to them. And he did that for Deborah and Barak, and they began to praise him for his virtues. The word sang, as you see here in this verse, and it says, they sang to the Lord, is a Hebrew word that means to celebrate in song. And so it's a song of victory, and they're celebrating. And that's why we as believers, whether we can sing where it's pleasing to others or not, we still have a song in the heart that God gives us whenever he saves us, because that is a natural response to what he's done for us, the victory that we have in him. And so as they are praising the Lord in song, they're thanking the Lord for his sovereignty, because in verse 2 it says, the avenging of Israel there. And it is God's sovereignty that they were able to win these victories. They couldn't have done it without the Lord. But notice in the rest of verse 2, it says, when the people willingly offered themselves. Though God does the subduing, God does the delivering, or the, as we saw the word, discomfiting last week, God does all of that. We see even in this verse that the Lord's avenging is directly tied to the people being willing. And so it is in salvation. Whenever we start discussing that thing about the sovereignty of God and election and man's will, those things are not separated in salvation, and they're not separated here in the victories that God has given. And so they're giving thanks for the sovereignty of God that he was using them. Continue reading in 4. says, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped, the clouds dropped water, the mountains melted. And so here the Lord is going out to war. And whenever the Lord goes out marching to war, can you imagine the Lord marching? That's what it says in verse 4. Lord, when you march out, when the Lord is marching forth to battle, don't you want to be on his side when he's marching? Because we know he's going to be victorious because of the sovereignty that he has. And he's marching out, and we see in his march, we see his strength there. Whenever we are marching to Zion, as we sing the song, we're marching for the Lord. God is sovereign. But whenever we willingly offer ourselves to him, as they did in verse 2, the power of God takes over, and God does the work through us. Oh, he could do it without us, but God chooses to work in and through us, and he gets the glory, and we get the blessing of being used of God. Then we go to finishing up verse 5. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, we read about him last week, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. And as we see this cycle of sin and going into slavery, this is the reason right here, that first phrase in verse 8, they chose new gods. And whenever we choose new gods, regardless of what they are, things that satisfy the self, war is going to happen. The war within us is happening, the flesh and the spirit. And that's what happened in verse 8. Verse 9, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. So we saw in verse 2, the people willingly offered. And now we see in verse 9 that the leaders, the governors, they willingly offered themselves. And whenever we come and we willingly offer ourselves, we may feel inadequate. We may feel that we don't have the strength, but God in his sovereignty and God in his strength will use his people when we willingly offer ourselves to him. Deborah continues her song in verse 10. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. And so now we see the Lord's steadfastness. All of his ways are righteous. When he delivers his people into slavery, he's righteous. When he delivers them out of slavery, he's righteous. Everything the Lord does is righteous. And Deborah is rejoicing and praising the Lord and rehearsing the righteous acts of the Lord. And that's what we should do. We do it in songs. When we think about all the wonderful things God has done for us, we rehearse them in our minds and in our songs there. Verse 12, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake. Utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remains have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. And so we see this steadfastness of God. He's always right in everything he does. Now they go on to praise God for the volunteers. And in these verses, beginning at verse 14, you can see some of the tribes that are named, Ephraim and Benjamin and Zebulun and Issachar and Reuben, and not all of the tribes are named. And so there are a few there. A little over half of the tribes are named here. But in verse 13, it says, the Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. And it doesn't matter when we're in the Lord's army and we're marching behind his orders, that we're going to be victorious. And it doesn't matter if there are few or many. because of the strength and the might that God has there. And so we see that there are few, but we also see in society today, in a lot of churches, there are few people doing the majority of the work. God uses people, even as he did here, to serve the Lord. But there were some that were fearless as they were going forth. Verse 18 says, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded, or we would say jeopardized, their lives unto death in the high places of the field. And if you will go back and look at chapter 4 and verse 6, Zebulun and Naphtali did indeed risk their lives. They had 10,000 with them, which seems to be a large army. But remember, they were going out against those who had outnumbered them, and the opposition had chariots of iron. And even though they were outnumbered and the other had better weapons, they were fearless. They didn't care that they were putting their lives on the line. They were volunteers. And Deborah is praising the Lord for the people who risked their lives to do the work of the Lord. And we do well also to thank God for others who serve and are faithful and risk their lives. And sometimes even our missionaries, we have some in dangerous places like Cindy Grover there in the Middle East and others. And you never know what kind of turmoil is going to develop. But they're following the Lord. And even though there may be few, God is righteous in all his acts, and his strength will prevail. Well, there were some that did not, and we'll see those who had some failure because they did not. Verse 19 says, the kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the water of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. And if you'll drop all the way down to verse 23, it says, curse ye Miraz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because, here's why they're cursed, because they came not to the help of the Lord. The Lord didn't need them. The Lord was mighty, and in his sovereignty, he was giving the victory, but he was using those that volunteered, but there were some who didn't help, and they missed out on the blessing, and God says that they are cursed because they did not come to the help. So Deborah and Barak, they're praising God for his virtues. They're praising God for his volunteers. And now they're going to praise God for the victory that they have. As we look at the fight in verse 19, I read a little bit earlier. It says, the kings came and fought. Verse 20, it says, they fought from heaven, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. What are these stars that are fighting against Sisera? Most people think this is a reference to the angel. God has these angels, and we know the Bible talks about angels, and they are sent forth to minister, and these stars may very well be the angels that God has as his people are fighting against Sisera. And Jael, of course, drives the nail through his skull, as we saw last week. And then we see in verse 21, the river of Kishon swept them away. And so we see not only the fight going on, but we see the forces of God. God uses a river that he has created, and he uses this force. It's an ancient river, verse 21 says, and how they were trodden down in their strength, because the Lord and his river just came and washed them away. The forces of God are mighty. He can use winds. He can use waters. He can use a few volunteers. God can use anything he wants. He can use an ox goad. He can use a left-handed man with a dagger there. All the forces of God are in use. He can use a woman like Deborah, a woman like Jael. God can use all of these things, and so the forces of God are not going to be stopped. So when God goes marching into battle, we want to be sure to be on his side because he has all the forces of nature that he controls with him there. And even he can use a farmer with an ox goad. He uses all of these things there. And now we back up to verse 13 that I read earlier, and we see the foundation of the victory. It's not because Deborah was wise and Barak was courageous. He wasn't, was he? He said, I'm not going unless you go with me, Deborah. But it's because of verse 13, the Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. And any victories we have in our lives, any victories we have over the flesh, they will always be because the Lord made us victorious. We're not going to do it on our own. There's the sovereignty of God, but when we willingly offer ourselves to go, God will work in mighty ways with the powerful forces of nature or other individuals that He chooses. God will give the victory there. And then we see that they praise God for His vessels. Follow as I read verses 24 through verse 30. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out in the window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies, that is the mother of Sisera, they answered her and said, she returned answer to herself, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, a divers colors of needlework on both sides, meat for the necks of them that take the spoil, and says, they should have won this battle. They should have collected all the spoil. They should be home by now. Where are they? Not knowing that her son had died in battle at the hand of a woman. And God had used this woman and this tent stake to end the life of Sisera there. And we read about some gory details in there last week and this week as well. Because as we see, the first part of verse 31, so let all thine enemies perish. And God's enemies will perish, whether he's using Othniel, the first judge, or Shamgar with the ox goad, or this woman, Deborah, and Barak, or the woman Jael, that all of God's enemies will perish. Even death, the last enemy, God has conquered that. And as we look at the very last verse, started to do this chapter last week whenever we were looking at the story of Deborah and Barak, but it was going to make it too long, and so I was going to kind of do a little bit of chapter 6 with it, and that's Gideon, and don't want to do that as well. So we'll finish up with verse 31, and I want to share, I think it's 14 verses, and I'll put them up on the screen there, because I want you to see something in verse 31. After it says, let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, he says, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goes forth in his might. Let them that love him. Who are they? Who are the ones that love God? Well, I have 14 verses I want to share, and I'm going to put them on the screen so you can see them. Those that love God, who are they? Well, as we first of all look at Exodus 26, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Those who love God are the ones who keep his commandments in Exodus 20. Let's continue to see how else do we decide who are those that love God. Deuteronomy 5:10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The same thing in another verse. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Who are those that love God? They're those who keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 11:1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge, or His statutes, His judgments, His commandments. Love God, do what He says. The next verse, Deuteronomy 11:22. For if you shall diligently keep all the commandment which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to cleave unto Him. So we have these things over and over, and there are more verses to come. Love God, keep His commandments. Keep His commandments because you love God. Deuteronomy 19:9. If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in His ways, then thou shalt add 3 cities more for thee beside those 3. So love the Lord, walk after Him, keep His commandments. Deuteronomy 30:16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land which thou goest to possess it. So when we love God, we keep His commandments, He honors us, He blesses us for doing that. His sovereignty, He uses those that willingly offer themselves to be obedient. Joshua 22:5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. And what is it? To love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, to cleave to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. What does it mean to love Him with all your heart and soul? It means to obey His commandments, to do what He says. And those few that were there, they had volunteered, they had offered willingly, they loved the Lord. They even jeopardized their lives because they loved the Lord. Daniel 9. Verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession, said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, to them that keep His commandments. Again, those two thoughts are tied in Daniel. In the New Testament, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What does it mean to love? It means to obey, to do what He says. God measures our love for Him, not through our emotions or our words, but through our obedience. John 14:23, Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And notice the example we have. When God says putting the love of God and obedience to God together, that's what Jesus did. Jesus loved God and He was obedient. He was willing to leave heaven and come to earth, and not my will, but thine be done. And whenever we are going to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength and be obedient to Him, sometimes it means laying aside our will so that we might follow His will. And then in 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. And one more, I think. Yeah, last one. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments, they're not grievous. When God wants us to love Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, it's not hard to obey a God who is sovereign and makes it easier for us to do. And we just willingly offer ourselves, and God's the one who's marching before us to battle. And when we follow Him and love Him, He gives us the victory. Who are those that love Him? Those that willingly offer themselves to Him. Not those that just say they love God. Not those that are the emotional ones there. Not those who put on the best show. But those who are in simple obedience. So look at the rest of this verse. Verse 31. All of God's enemies will perish, but let them that love Him Be as the sun. Be as the sun. Let's look at that for just a few minutes. Five things about the sun. Think about the beauty of the sun and the glory that it has. God says, as we love Him and obey Him, we'll be as the sun so that we bring glory and honor to God, even as the sun and all of its beauty testifies of the glory of God. Also, the sun gives forth light to guide. And God says that we ought to, if we love God and we are obedient to Him, we're going to be a light, that we're to guide people in the way. And God wants to use us to guide them. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He was reading from the scripture and he couldn't understand. He says, how can I understand except someone guide me, show me the light there? God wants us to be as the sun that shines light. Well, we know that there's no life without the sun there. And so plant and animal life live because of the sun. And he says, let those that love him be as the sun, which means we need to be a witness for him. Because those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, if they're going to have life, it's going to be because of the Son of God. And we're going to be a witness for him. Another aspect of the sun causes things to grow. And the Bible tells us as believers, he gives every one of us spiritual gifts. And with those gifts, we are to use those gifts to edify, to build up others so that they can grow in the faith as well. Let them that love him be as the sun. And the last thing about the sun is the power that's there. We think about solar energy. And the Bible says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so God gives us the power. And so as they're going forth into battle, certainly they're victorious, not because they were so mighty, but because they willingly offer themselves to the Lord who marches before them in battle. And it's His sovereignty and His power. And when we love Him and obey Him, it doesn't matter what obstacles are there. It doesn't matter how big the other armies are. When we obey Him, we are as the sun and we go forth in His might. Let's read verse 31 again. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. And they will, because He's the captain of our salvation. But let them that love Him, that's us. How do we prove our love to God? By being like the sun. The sun goes forth in His might. And we also go forth in God's might as well. And we think about the victory that Othniel had as the first judge. We think about the victory that Ehud had with the dagger that was a cubit long, and God gave him the victory. And we think about Shamgar, and he went forth in obedience to God with an ox goad there. And Deborah and Barak went forth in the battle, and God used a tent stake there. And all of these things, God was working, and He was sovereign, and He gave the victory. He did it all. But the people willingly offered themselves to the Lord because they loved God. They were obedient to Him. And that's how God will measure our love for Him as well. The might or the power of God that gives victory is directly tied to our obedience. The sovereignty of God was mixed in with their willingness to obey, and God gave the victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these that willingly offered themselves to you. And you did mighty things through them, not because of any strength or power or wisdom that they had, but because they willingly offered themselves to you. So, Father, this evening, even as Deborah and Barak praised you in song, we will close our service praising you in song. And we thank you for all those who have impacted our lives because they have been faithful in following you as well. And we have been edified and strengthened as a result of their obedience. So, Father, help us to demonstrate our love for you through our obedience, and that we will be as the sun that goes forth in strength and victory. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.